The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Hello, Rolene. How are you?
Well, I'm really, really happy now that I hear everybody looks forward to the Israel report.
Well, there you go. It's important to very, very many people. I think they listen in for the Israel report. So they listen in because we have a huge announcement regarding the U.S. embassy.
Boy, did we ever have a huge announcement, literally seconds before Shabbat came in on Friday. I mean, it was quite funny for some people who were already welcoming in the Shabbat. They missed the announcement. But everybody, it is official. The United States will move its embassy to Jerusalem on Yom HaAtzmaut on the 14th of May this year, in celebration of our 70th birthday. It's an incredible, momentous occasion. As you can imagine, those of us who did get the message are absolutely elated, with a side of caution, I must just add, because we understand that there will possibly be consequences and ramifications. But it is official because the announcement was put on the State Department website as well. Donald Trump and the State Department made the announcement that the embassy will be moving. So what does this entail? Everybody wants to know, apart from huge celebration with a side of extra security, because let's be very, very frank. First of all, Prime Minister Netanyahu has thanked President Trump, saying, on behalf of the entire government and people, I would like to thank President Trump for both his leadership and his friendship. So what will happen is as follows. In the first stages, the embassy, which will be housed in the American Consulate Building, which is in the Anona neighborhood. Now, if you are familiar with Jerusalem, you know that it's up the road, literally a stone's throw from the Mamila and the Old City, and is literally meters away from the Waldorf Astoria Hotel and opposite Gana Atzmaut. So what will happen is the consulate building will continue to carry out consular functions and will hold only the offices of Ambassador David Friedman and a small staff. What is hoped will happen by the end of next year is that an embassy annex, they are calling it, will open on the Anona compound that will expand Ambassador Friedman and his staff with more office space and more staff. So also, along with this, a search has begun for a site to house a permanent embassy in the city, and the construction of this could take a number of years. And there are rumors floating about that Sheldon Adelson will contribute money towards the building of this embassy. Whether it's true or not remains to be seen. But this is truly momentous news. And what we know as well is that Guatemala, the tiny Central American state of Guatemala, will follow suit. They have confirmed that they will also move their embassy to Jerusalem and the Christian embassy in Jerusalem. And I just want to give a huge shout out, a massive, 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 massive thank you to all our Christian friends out there, because I know you give us your absolute unwavering and holy support. The Christian embassy in Israel has launched a campaign to what they called is to challenge the double standards of 8 countries who voted for the resolution, but also have consulates in Jerusalem that serve as diplomatic missions to the Palestinian Authority. So these countries are, and the resolution they voted for, I must just clarify, is condemning the United States for recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. So these countries, Belgium, France, Greece, Italy, Spain, Sweden, Turkey, and the United Kingdom, the Christian embassy says that they have double standards because they've had a lot to say about the breach of so-called even-handedness, but they don't show an even-handed approach. So thank you so much to our Christian friends and to the incredible Christian embassy in Israel.
So just to understand, Rolene, so the consulate is going to stay the consulate, or the ambassador is going to move to the consulate, and the site by the Waldorf Astoria is going to be something that they're going to start building on, or is that not going to be the final site?
It's not going to be the final site. What will happen is the ambassador and a very small staff will move their offices into the consulate.
Okay.
And they will look, while this is happening, for an alternative site, because building or construction will take a number of years. What they're hoping for is to perhaps build a little bit on the site so that it can accommodate maybe a little bit more of the embassy staff.
Interesting. You know, I'd be, personally, if I was an American embassy official, I'd be pretty annoyed at this whole thing for one reason and one reason only, is that the American embassy currently in Tel Aviv has the most amazing beach view that you have ever seen. And I'm pretty sure that if they sell it off as a hotel, they can recoup all the costs for building in Jerusalem. But moving along pretty swiftly, Poland in the news again. The European Council is warning Poland against anti-Semitic speech, and also we are seeing issues around this Holocaust law again. So what's going on with the Poles, Rolene?
Well, several more positive things at the polls, or rather with the polls. What we have heard in the news today is the Holocaust Museum, which was spoken about last week, will not go ahead. Also, we do know that there is a delegation en route from Poland to Israel. They have frozen the very, very controversial Holocaust law, which states that if you say Polish death camps, you can be imprisoned for up to 3 years, including survivors. I must just add, there has been a lot of diplomatic fallout, not just with the State of Israel, but with World Jewry and the United States. And the European Council President Donald Tusk, that's Donald Tusk and not Donald Trump, telling a news conference on Friday that he had met with Poland's Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki and other European leaders. And they all agree that the situation is very, very serious. It has a direct impact on Polish interests, Poland's reputation, and Poland's standing in the world. They have been warned that. And I'm really, really glad that they're raising the issue of anti-Semitism. So President Donald Tusk, the president of the European Council, has said there is only one solution. Everything needs to be done to stop the wave of bad opinions about Poland, which today resembles a tsunami, and the second wave of silly and indecent incidents, anti-Semitic statements in Poland. So it's not the language which we would have hoped for, but they have firmly stated, and the delegation from Poland is en route to Israel to discuss the controversial law. He goes on to say, this is President Tusk, he says, the ruling party has all the instruments to stop both these waves if it really wants to. We have all worked hard over the last 30 years on good relations with Poland and the world, including Israel and the Jewish community, and we cannot allow this for it to be ruined. We were hoping that we would hear a lot more condemnation of the anti-Semitism. It was mentioned not harsh enough for some of our tastes, myself included, but at least the warning has been given, and maybe this has contributed to the recent developments.
Yeah, and hopefully reducing the diplomatic stupid that is flowing out of Poland at the moment. That would be very much useful. Moving back to Israel, lots of talk about a potential war with Syria and Iran coming up, and it's not just talk. It looks like the IDF has done an enormous drill in the north for an eventuality in that respect.
Well, you're absolutely correct. The IDF has conducted a drill. In fact, this past week, the IDF were conducting large-scale drills that, in fact, simulated a potential ground incursion by elite Hezbollah forces, Hezbollah being sponsored or one of the proxies of Iran. Now, in 2006, during the Second Lebanon War, Israel and the defense ministry and the political establishment faced a lot of criticism from the Israeli public, who were concerned that our army wasn't prepared as well as it should have been, and that we incurred quite massive losses amongst our soldiers. So I think that they understand, not just from the Second Lebanon War and the subsequent reports afterwards, but also that we have a very, very, very aggressive, very, very well-equipped, well-armed, and well-sponsored and financed enemy on our northern border, and we won't be taking any chances.
Now, if you were following the issue in a few years ago of the Nigerian Chibok girls who were kidnapped, you will have remembered there was the hashtag Bring Back Our Girls and some work towards that. And it looks as though the Israelis, not quite specifically on that issue, but in respect to it, is that they are working with the Nigerian Air Force specialists to look at counter-terror training to try and do some work in that area.
Well, first of all, Benji, I'm so glad that you have brought up the issues of Bring Back Our Girls, because over the weekend there was another kidnapping by Boko Haram, who kidnapped 110 Nigerian girls. And like me, I'm sure you are, and many of our listeners must be absolutely confounded why we are not seeing emergency sessions at the United Nations, or hearing global condemnation, or seeing marches in the streets, or hearing the women's movement. And I'm a card-carrying feminist, Benji. I mean, you know that. I want to know why I'm not hearing from my sisters the condemnation of the kidnapping of these young girls, many of them taken into sex slavery by Boko Haram, if they are not killed. This is very, very, very serious, very, very severe, and one wonders why they seem to fall through the media coverage and the international outcry. But what we do know is that a group of about 150 Nigerian Air Force Special Forces soldiers have received counter-terror training from military officers. And also what we do know is that this the Tuesday of last week, an Israeli man was freed unharmed after being kidnapped for ransom near the capital of Abuja several days earlier. So hopefully these troops who have being equipped with better military training will be able to fight the terrible, terrible threat that Boko Haram poses on the Nigerian public.
Well, there we go, Erolene. Thank you so much for all of that. Much appreciated. Some interesting stuff going on in the world. And lucky for us, you'll be bringing it all again tomorrow on the Israel Report.
You absolutely know I will.